paid
260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man.
Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
And we are back, the Kickback Pod, back yet again after a short summer hiatus. We didn't forget about you guys. We are very excited to be back in the booth. I'm here with my man Fobs. Very, very happy to see you, my man. How you doing?
What up, JD? I'm also very, very happy to be back in the booth with you talking about sneakers. And you're right, we have been, I don't want to call it slacking, but definitely enjoying the good life in the summer. You've been going on a lot of trips. I will be going on a few trips in a few weeks. So definitely overdue this episode and definitely jam-packed. But before we get into all of that, let us talk about you and your trips. You've been jet-setting. What have you been up to, man?
Yo, yeah, I mean, so shout out to my boys, Al and Milad, from Canada, my good homies who try to meet up with me at least once a year in Europe, and we do like some Euro trips here and there.
Yo, so those are the real year, ones, man. Once a year.
Those are the real ones, man. So that's why major shout out to those guys. So this year we decided to actually, we bought tickets to the Budapest Grand Prix, the Formula One race. And so we kind of centered our trip around that. I know that there were some cheap flights that go from Istanbul to Budapest. So I suggested, let's do Istanbul as well. And then we randomly added London in there as well. So it was like a 10-day trip, kind of like all over the place. It was also kind of funny because last year my friends came to Europe and they exchanged a lot of Canadian dollars for euros and didn't use much of it. And they thought that they'd use it the following year. And we end up going to three countries that don't accept euros.
That's good.
I know. So they had to, you know, get some liras, some forints, some pounds. It was kind of funny, but it was a very, very, very eventful trip. The very first day that I was in London, I woke up kind of early, checked my phone, and of course I get this notification from Cortez that with some GPS coordinates. And I'm like, oh shit, is there some kind of drop or something today? I find out that, in fact, they were dropping those 95s on that day. And I looked at the GPS coordinates. It was like 20 minutes walking from the hotel I was in. So I thought, my friends were still asleep, actually, because we kind of had like a long night the night before. I just told them, guys, I'll be back. Don't worry. I got to do something real quick. Turns out, like, it was kind of crazy, man. Like I start walking, and then I see like people like driving around in scooters, in bikes, like kind of running across the street. And I had never experienced anything like this before. Like this was like the first time I've like gone to like a GPS drop like this, like a actual live drop. So it was kind of crazy seeing all the intense energy. I get there. I managed to get there in time to actually get a pair of shoes. It was a very long wait, not gonna lie. Like in total, like I kind of stood in line for around 4 hours,
which
was, yeah, it was not, it was really not what I was expecting at all, because I was very, very, very much at the front of the line pretty much. And I looked behind me, there was like hundreds and hundreds and maybe thousands of people behind. So I thought, okay, I'm pretty much at the front. This is gonna take maybe an hour. But the line moved so slow that it took 4 hours basically for me to get to the front. And I kind of felt bad for my friends a little bit because they had some plans in the morning that I couldn't attend. But at least I was able to get the shoes. They were selling the shoes for only £110, which was actually a lot below even the retail price of the shoes. And on top of that, I got a free t-shirt. I got to meet Clint. I said what up to him. Very, very cool, very friendly guy. So that was kind of cool.
Yo, did you ask him to be on the podcast?
Nah, man. I should have asked him to be on. Oh, man. Bro, that was a missed opportunity. Shit.
Damn, bro. I'm sure you'll meet him again at some point, or maybe I will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, he's a pretty cool guy, man. So met Clint. So yeah, I mean, that was just like the first day. Istanbul is also amazing. I highly recommend everyone to go to Istanbul. Like it's one of the nicest, one of my favorite cities in the world. Nicest people, amazing food, great weather. And yeah, Budapest Grand Prix, that was fucking awesome as well. Got to see Lewis Hamilton get his first pole position in 3 years or 2 years. So that was pretty cool. Of course, Max Verstappen, the inevitable, you know, like he pretty much won the race after the first corner. So yeah, the race itself was a bit of a snooze fest, not gonna lie, because nothing eventful happened after that first like 30 seconds of the race. I even fell asleep for around 20 laps, which was not good. But yeah, it was fun. It was a great trip. Very, very eventful and memorable. So yeah, once again, shout out to the homies.
Damn, bro, that sounds like a really great time, especially if it's with the guys from back home that you don't get to see often. So it's nice that you guys, you know, planned such a nice trip. It came together, and now you're here. That's great.
Yeah, and then I come back to Berlin, nothing but rain since I've been back. Like, pretty much it's rained for like 2 weeks in a row that I've been back. Like, I haven't even seen the sun. Like, I don't know what's going on with summer in Berlin, but it's been pretty bad.
I've been saying this, like, it's got to be some sort of record for rainfall during summer in Berlin, at least for the last, like, at least for the years that I've been here, which is now seven and a half years. I've never seen it rain this much during the summer. And on the one hand, it's great for nature and everything like that, but at some point, it's like, come on, man. I think the trees have enough water now. Let's get some sunshine and we can chill in the park or something.
Yeah, like exactly, man. Like, I want to hit the beach. I want to, you know, go to some nice, like, summer festivals or something, man. I'm not getting that summer vibe at all. And summer's almost done. It's like already August now. So, yeah, it hasn't been good.
I mean, that's why I'm heading out of Berlin soon. I'm on parental leave now, so I'm going to be hitting up my mom's place. Hitting up my mom's place in the south of Germany, and then from there we're going to road trip to the south of France. Actually, it's okay. About an 8-9 hour drive. I'm going to split that into a couple days with, you know, a night in between. We're going to stay around Lyon and finish off near Montpellier. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Probably not. So it's not directly at the beach. It's like a 20-30 minute drive inland from the beach, but super nice wine country, little town with these cute little streets and, you know, stone houses. So we're looking forward to it. And it's probably a guarantee that it's going to be really hot there. It's one of the hotter areas of France. So we're looking at like 35 or between 30 and 35 degrees.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, so I'm gonna get at least a little slice of summer before I head back. But I'm still holding out hope that the Berlin September is like this, like, nice late summer vibe, you know, like mid-20s, right to the end of September. But who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, I'm praying for that myself. But we got a lot to talk about in this episode. So guys, in this episode, this was kind of like a topic that just kind of randomly came up because it's been something that I've been thinking about for the last couple of weeks, and that is that this current moment right now, I feel, is just one of the best times to be a sneakerhead. So we've titled the episode, "What a Time to Be a Sneakerhead." We'll get into some of the reasons why we feel that way. But before we get into all that, shout out to the listener of the week, and that is Max Marlin. My man Max, shout out to you. Thank you for always listening in and commenting and all of your support. So appreciate it. Let's move on to what we have been wearing. Starting off with Fobs, let us know, what have you been wearing in the last few weeks?
So I've been wearing a couple sneakers over the past few weeks. The first one is the Morel 1 TRL Reese Cooper Hydro Runner. I've spoken about this shoe on this podcast and also on Oshun a couple of times. I've wanted this shoe for ages, and it was first unveiled at Paris Fashion Week back when I was still at High Snobiety, which is almost 2 years ago now. And after that, news about the shoe just went dead. Like, I couldn't find any information about when it was releasing, where it was going to be available. And then I, you know, not forgotten about it, but given up hope a little bit that it was ever going to arrive or that I was going to get it. Maybe it wasn't dropping in Europe. Maybe it was just unavailable, super limited quantities. I don't know. Fast forward 18 months, and I'm browsing the Beeston sale, and boom, there I see it on sale. And I was like, phew, this is a must cop. So I picked it up a few weeks ago, and it's a really good shoe because it's kind of great for dry weather, but also really good for wet weather. It's, you know, got that Hydro Mock upper, but with a like webbed netted silicone boot that slips over your feet. So it's not 100% waterproof, but it's definitely water resistant. You can wear it. You don't have to worry about getting wet or soggy. So really, really nice shoe and a super nice colorway as well. This like nice green forest camo. So I've been wearing that a lot. And then I had to wear this sneaker because of a movie that came out recently. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I intend to as soon as it's available on streaming. This is the pink Stussy Air Max 2013. Obviously, I'm talking about the Barbie movie. Barbie Core has been super in right now. At work, you know, at Zalando, we're talking about Barbie Core all the time.
Is everyone wearing pink in the Zalando office?
I mean, not everyone, but a lot. I mean, more than you would think are definitely wearing that like hot pink, and not just on the shoes. Like some people wearing like pink blazers or full pink suits, which, you know, to each their own. But the Barbie movie is like massive, right? Like I said, I haven't seen it yet because it's a little bit difficult to get to the movies with a young baby. But everyone who I've talked to has really liked it if they've watched it, and the marketing budget behind this movie is just insane. They've done collaborations with everyone. They have billboards everywhere. So the whole Barbie vibe and aesthetic has really been in the forefront of everybody's minds and has also dominated fashion a little bit over the last few months. So that movie came out a few weeks ago, and the pink Stussies are kind of an homage to it. Obviously, they came out before the movie came out, but the pink just fits, man. Have you watched the movie, actually?
Yeah, I actually watched it last weekend. I mean, the movie itself, I wasn't like a huge fan of, to be honest, especially the second half. I thought it got a bit too political, but the movie going experience, I have to say, I haven't felt something like that since maybe like Harry Potter days. So we showed up to the movies maybe a bit early, like 20 minutes before, and I couldn't believe like how into the movie people were, because first of all, the theater was packed and people were dressed up. Like I saw like a lot of girls in had dyed their hair pink. Some people were wearing wigs. I saw people in pink suits, like head to toe suited up in pink. I have seen a lot of people wearing pink shoes. It was like I haven't seen like such a big group of people dress up for a movie like this in a like a pretty long time, since pretty much Harry Potter. Like I was saying, I actually wore my pink Adidas Gucci Gazelles to the show,
just to flex on everyone.
Just to, yeah, exactly, man. no, not really. But and Diana, Diana had a pair of pink Gucci Gazelle Bold, like the one with the big sole. So we both were kind of matching a little way, you know, trying to be cute and all. But yeah, I mean, the movie was kind of so-so, but I did like the experience, though.
Nice, very nice. What about any recent pickups? Do you have anything to talk about?
Well, first of all, like what I've been wearing. So have been really in love with this pair. This is the Jacques Mousse J-Force 1. Big fan of this shoe. Like I was saying, I think in the previous pod, I found it very interesting looking. And I just like the fact that it's like a slimmer Air Force One. Part of the reason why I didn't really wear a lot of Air Force Ones is because I found the shoe to be very bulky looking. So it wasn't really one of my favorite shoes, even though I understand that it's an absolute classic. But the Jacques Mousse J-Force Ones still kind of have that aesthetic of an Air Force One, but it's much slimmer. It's much, much, much lighter. It's more comfortable. And it's made with very good leather compared to a normal Air Force One. I managed to get them 50% off. Shout out to Luisa Via Roma for that amazing sale they have every summer. It's better than the Essence sale, guys. The Luisa Via Roma sale is the best sale in Europe. So I managed to get the Jacques Mousse 50% off. Been rocking it nonstop. Big fan of those. And also the shoe that I wore the most on my trip was the Action Bronson 990 V6, which I had called the sneaker of the year in the last episode, and I still agree that it's sneaker of the year. However, I did notice one thing while wearing the shoe so much during the trip. It's not as comfortable as my other 990 V6s, and that's because for some reason they just fit a lot narrower in the toe area. Like with my other V6s, I feel like they broke in very fast, and like I feel no pain or anything when wearing them. But with these Action Bronsons, for some reason they feel or they fit a bit more snug than the other 990 V6s. So I was a little bit uncomfortable rocking them for long periods of time. So just something, maybe I would suggest you guys to go a half size up. If you were thinking of copying these, go a half size up than your normal 990 V6 size, because they do fit kind of snug.
That's interesting. Maybe it's because of the materials they've used or the way they've layered the materials as well. Like that can always change the way shoes fit, how wide they are, how long they are, yeah, especially exactly. In the toe box area. So that's definitely good to know. Thank you for letting the people know. So now let's talk about pickups. I know you probably have a couple. Hit me.
Yeah, I'm just going to talk about a couple of them. They're both actually the same model, the same shoe. That is the New Balance 990 V6 that we were talking about. So the first pickup, once again, shout out to the Luisa Villaroma sale that I was telling you guys about. I got the 990 V6 purple and pink colorway. I know you like that colorway. You were telling me about it the last episode. The one that's cream with a little purple, little pink. Got it for 50% off. So only paid 125 euros for it, which is a very good price for a pair of 990 V6s. And I haven't even received it yet, but I cannot wait to get them and rock them. I actually really, really like this colorway. It looks great on this shoe. And the other one that I picked up is the latest colorway of the V6, and that is the cream colorway. Shout out to Teddy Santis for giving us a GR sneaker that I think, if it wasn't a GR sneaker, if it was called the Emilion d'Or 990 V6, I feel like people would be calling this shoe sneaker of the year. It is that clean. The colorway is so nice. I like this as my favorite colorway to release so far of the V6s. I might even like the colorway more than the bronzes, man. Not even going to lie. It's like such a super clean colorway that, and not to mention it's a V6, so it's a super comfortable shoe as well. So for all those reasons, it is maybe my favorite pickup so far this year.
Damn.
What about yourself, man? I see you got some pickups as well.
Yeah, I guess at the end of the year, we'll see how many V6s will be in your top five. I have a couple pickups. I recently picked up the Dime A6 GT2160, which is a very, very nice sneaker. Very comfortable as well. And A6 is kind of just dominating everything at the moment, in my opinion. The 2000 sneaker craze is not looking like it's ending anytime soon, and A6 is one of the best brands to do it. They have a very, very, very solid lineup of 2000s or 2000s inspired running shoes, and the GT2160 is definitely one of the nicer ones, in my opinion. The Dime colorway, I wish that Friends and Family green colorway was an actual release colorway, but
yeah, I think that was the best one as well.
Yeah, that one was super nice. I obviously like the Dime collab enough to buy it, right? But I'm not totally convinced with the gradient of the shoe. I would have loved to flip it and have the white towards the heel and the green gray towards the toe box, because I think there's just a little bit too much white towards the toe box on this shoe. But again, I did like the shoe, and that's why I picked it up. So very happy with that pickup. And then my second pickup, I didn't actually buy this shoe. I was sent it. So shout out to Stone Island for sending me the New Balance Fuel Cell C1. Beautiful shoe. I mean, this thing is a monster. And everybody who listens to this show knows how much I love bulky running shoes. And I don't think you can get any more bulky than the C1 Fuel Cell. So also really love the little details, the Stone Island camo print that has been put onto the top of the shoe, with a desert camo colorway. Just overall a very, very solid solid sneaker. One of my favorite pickups this year as well. And I'm gonna go and say it and say that Stone Island New Balance is probably the most interesting partnership in sneakers right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, you've been a fan of these two for a while. I think you've talked about every single one of the Stone Island New Balances collab on this pod, very positive light. I think You might be like one of the biggest fans of this collab that I know, man. Like, I think you pretty much have every single release so far.
I mean, the shoes are cool. It's high performance meets luxury performance. The colorways are interesting. The materials used are crazy. I think the two brands mesh really well. So I'm not ashamed to say that I'm a very, very big fan of these.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Well, I'm glad you were able to get those. Well, before we get into the big topic, let's go over some very quick news bites, some notable sneaker news that have come out in the last little while since we last recorded. The first is the announcement from Nike that there will be another Sneakers Day this year. It will be officially September the 8th or the 9th. Wait, let's get that date right. Was it the 8th or the 9th?
No, it's the 9th. So 9/9/23.
Right. So, and what's different about this year's Sneakers Day is that it will be a worldwide Sneakers Day. Previously, there was a different one for Europe, a different one for the US. It will be, what we know this year is that it will be worldwide. What remains to be seen is, will it continue to be as disappointing as all of the previous Sneaker Days? We've recapped Sneaker Days on this pod before. The Nike Sneakers Day has just been a big bundle of disappointment for me. Like, I feel like it's a day that I just waste time every year hoping something's gonna drop. Nothing good ends up dropping. Maybe an exclusive Sneakers Day Air Force One or an Air Max One drops, but nothing restocks really that's worth buying, that or something that you missed out on, you really hope with restock. No big restocks. So let's see if this year they actually do restock some interesting sneakers from earlier this year. Maybe it would be nice if we got the SB Jordan 4s, you know, restocking, maybe even the Jordan 4 Thunder. There was a lot of heat from Nike this year. It would be nice to see some decent restocks. But do you have any hopes for this year?
Honestly, I loved the Sneakers Day that was a treasure hunt where you had to like scratch random pictures on the app.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
The first one. And like, of course, like once somebody figures it out, it gets leaked on Reddit and then it's just a race to be the first, right? So that's one drawback from the doing it that way. But I really like just the treasure hunt aspect of that and kind of the gamification and how rewarding it was to figure it out or to find something online that hinted towards it. And then you figured it out and you were able to cop a shoe. So I would love something like that to come back. I'm not hopeful though, because I think that's a lot more work and Nike probably just wants it to be an easy lift. I'm assuming it'll be a lot like last year where they had a lot of programming, they had a lot of lives, they had a lot of shows. You had to tune into the shows, and then after each show or in between the shows, they would drop either a restock of a very popular sneaker, but probably most likely a general release, not like a super hype collab, or dropping an early batch of a sneaker that is coming out in a couple of months. They did that last year as well, I believe. So that's kind of what I'm expecting. My hopes aren't super high, but hey, man, I mean, I don't know if the 9th is a weekend, but if I'm sitting at the computer for work anyway, I might tune in and see what's going on, you know, and looking forward to it.
Bring
just,
back
you know, the... to see kind of what happens.
Well, you know, now that COVID is pretty much a thing of the past, maybe it would be cool if they did some kind of stash drops, like, you know, around the city. That would be kind of cool.
Some in-person activity would be cool. Let's see what they do. I think we're both, you know, not super hopeful, but we'll be happy if we are surprised pleasantly. Let's put it that way.
Speaking of being pleasantly surprised, also news came out of a cactus plant flea market collab with Nike on a brand new sneaker. I guess, I don't know if this is the official name, but they're calling it the Nike Air Flea 2. And this shoe, what were your initial thoughts when you saw this shoe? Because I thought of one shoe in particular, that was the Balenciaga Defender, the sneaker with those big tire marks at the bottom. It kind of seemed like a Nike version of it.
That's a good call. I mean, I guess I thought about that sneaker a little bit too. I also thought a little bit about some of the ISPA sneakers that have come out, or like the slip-ons that have like a crazy outsole. I mean, as soon as I saw this sneaker, I was like, damn, I kind of need to have it. I like
it a lot. Yo, me too. Like, I definitely need them. Because they're... Are they a sneaker? Or are they like a sandal?
They're probably a bit of both. I mean, like, you could probably easily wear them without socks, right? So I'm very into them. I'm intrigued to find out when they come out. And I definitely want to try and get my hands on a pair because they look super comfortable. They look like the kind of sneaker that I'm into, a little bit futuristic, a little bit out there, a little bit concept-y. So yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised. And anyone who hasn't checked these out, check them out. They're practically on all of the blogs at the moment. Hypebeast has written about them, Complex, Highsnobiety, etc., Sneaker Freaker. I'm going to describe them for you guys so that you can kind of paint yourself a picture. But as Josh said, they have this Defender-esque sole. So like all these like, the tread of the sole is basically like a tire. It's very, very thick. And then the upper of the shoe is this neoprene boot that has 2 4-foot straps running across it. All of this in black, of course. And the cool thing about the 4-foot straps is that they have these buttons on them, which look like you can actually put Nike's version of Jibbitz on it. So it has a bit of like that Crocs vibe going on as well. There's a Nike swoosh here, for example, like a very big oversized one that I believe you can stick onto these Jibbitz. And then there's some other branding as well, with, you know, Flea 2 on the heel tab and on the tongue, and then a Nike swoosh underneath that. I mean, overall, it looks very industrial and super, super cool sneaker, in my opinion.
I'm glad that big Nike swoosh is removable, because that was like the part I liked the least about the sneaker. But yeah, the whole gibbet aspect is really cool. Yeah, I'm very excited for these to release. I hope they don't have a lot of resale. I'm able to get them for retail, because this is like a shoe I think I really do want for.
Oh, I think they're going to be 2023. I think they're going to be quite limited, so I wouldn't hold my breath. But yeah, man. I mean, I hope we both get a pair.
Totally. Let's move on to another bit of news, and that is Crocs. Yeah, Crocs reporting one of their biggest... Oh, actually, no. Crocs actually reported their biggest quarter ever in Q2 of this year. $1 billion US dollars, a 12% increase the same time from 2022. It's kind of crazy, man. Like, I remember being back in university when Crocs first got popular, and I remember thinking at that time that, oh yeah, this is just another fad. Like, so I never actually ended up even buying a pair back then, because I never really saw myself, you know, wearing them, and I thought they would just go away. Fast forward 2023, they just sold the most Crocs they've ever sold in the quarter, and that's even with the amounts of fakes that are out there, with the amounts of duplicates there are out there. Even with all that, they still had a record quarter. So very, very impressive.
I want to speak to everyone who has more than one Crocs, right? Because I feel like, yes, Crocs have done a lot of work to be considered kind of like sneakers and created hype and all that kind of stuff. But come on, who is buying more than one or two pairs of Crocs? And there's...
Nurses.
Good point.
No,
good point.
It's a fact.
No, I mean, yeah. That's true. I didn't think about that. I'm talking more in like a sneakerhead point of view, because the numbers that they're stating are quite insane. But then I also saw a bit of news that was semi-related to that, and that Birkenstock is looking to do an IPO soon at a valuation of $8 billion, which that's also quite big for a German family-owned or previously family-owned sandal company. You know,
you buying the IPO first day?
Yeah, why not? I mean, Birkenstock has been around for like, what, like 300 years or something like that, or over 170 years. And that's a product that people like. When you think about sandals, that have like a cork footbed, what do you think about? You think about Birkenstock. So it's one of those like stocks or one of those IPOs where you're buying into a product that is so mainstream and so connected to the industry of what it is. It's a market leader in what it does, that Maybe there will be a dip after, you know, opening, but it's one of those that I see just rising in the future. But hey, don't take any investing advice from me because I am not a professional.
No, definitely not. I do like the concept, though, of owning stocks of companies or things that you like. It's kind of like why every time I upgrade my iPhone, I'm always like, hey, I'm a big Apple stock owner, so I'm thinking of this as investing in myself, you know. it's not an expense, it's an investment. Last bit of news was we finally got the official naming and we got a lot of close-up pictures of the upcoming Travis Scott sneaker, which is an exclusive sneaker. It's a signature sneaker for him, and it's called the Cut the Check. Pretty nice play on words there, cutting the check and, you know, cutting the Nike check. I get it. What do you think about the shoe? The aesthetic for me is, it's very Travis Scott. It gives me big time like skater vibes. It kind of looks like a, what's that shoe called? The Mac Attack. It kind of looks like a Mac Attack combined with a Nike Dunk in a way. If I were to describe it, I kind of like the look of it, but what are your thoughts?
I mean, it's got like a bit of, you know, a bit of like a Jordan 1 paneling, a bit of an SB vibe. It's got a bit of a Jordan sole, you know. So I'm not mad at it, but I don't know. I would have to see product shots before I really share my opinion on these. But I mean, they're not terrible for a signature sneaker, but they're also not like, they're not like blowing me out of the water like the Fear of God ones did, or Adidas Yeezy in the beginning, because that was just so, it was so different. It was so out of this world and so unique and original. And this is, it might be original, but it also looks like you see the Nike DNA in it, right? And when you looked at the Adidas Yeezy, apart from the Boost midsole, there was no Adidas DNA in there, right? Or the Fear of God one, I mean, that was more Fear of God than it was Nike. And I feel like this is more Nike than it is Travis Scott, if that makes sense. But yeah, again, I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad. It looks decent. I would love to check them out in person. I know that's probably not going to be possible before buying them. So maybe I'll try and buy them when they do drop. And then if I like them, I'll keep them. If not, I'll flip them or pass them on, or whatever.
They do look like something we've seen before. Like, it doesn't seem that interesting for a brand new sneaker. I'll tell you, the sneaker that I'm probably even more excited about from Travis Scott is probably those upcoming golf shoes. The Travis Scott Jordan 1 Low Golf, which, even though it's a golf shoe, I'm pretty sure people are going to just rock this on the street because it is a very, very nice colorway for sure. No word on when those are going to be releasing, but it's a very nice colorway. You can expect these to resell for a lot as well.
Yeah, it's true, even though it's a golf shoe.
Yeah. So let's move on to our big topic, which is why right now is a great time to be a sneakerhead. What a time to be a sneakerhead. There's many reasons for it, but it's just something that's been kind of on my mind lately because I've been able to get, let's take it back a little bit. So when I first kind of got into sneakers was around the time I moved to Berlin. So it was like 2017, and it was kind of when the Off-White hype was really starting off. And basically, that was like the beginning of really the big hype cycle in the sneaker world. So as far as I'm concerned, from the time I've started really getting heavy into sneakers, I've always kind of been in this hype beast type of world. And that's kind of like, I mean, I remember collecting sneakers before that too, but really like got super into sneakers around the hype beast time. So I feel like all I've known really over the last few years has just been, okay, hype drops are going to sell out immediately. They're going to go for resale. There's going to be resellers who are going to take everything. There's no point even trying to get shoes anymore because the bots are going to eat it all. And it's been this like a lot of things that don't have anything to do with sneakers kind of control releases, you know, like bots and resellers and all of that. And it's kind of definitely taken the joy out of sneaker collecting for a lot of people, because at the end of the day, I'm a guy who just likes shoes. I love wearing shoes. I love collecting them. So dealing with all this extra stuff has not been fun over the last few years. And I feel like right now, I look at the start of the month, I look at what are the upcoming sneakers this month, which is what I do every month, right? And but now when I look at this list, I'm like, I have like a very high degree of confidence that I'm going to be able to really have my say on which ones I want and which ones I don't, because I know that most of these shoes are not going to sell out. And I'm going to be able to take my time, really decide which of the sneakers I want to get. I might even be able to get some of these shoes I want on sale. I can think about that even, which is not something I could really even think of before. And it's just been a lot better as someone who loves collecting shoes, being able to get the shoes I want for cheaper, being able to not have to worry about dealing with bots, not have to worry about even waking up early for releases, because most of the time you can even wake up at 10 o'clock, the shoes will still be available on the sneakers app. You know, even if it's a super hype shoe like a Jordan 1, the University Blue, which dropped, the University Toe, if that shoe dropped a few years ago, of course, it would be sold out instantly, going for $300, $400 above retail. Instead, those sat, you know, for a few hours on the sneakers app. But yeah, I mean, those are just a few of the reasons. But yeah, I mean, I do have more to talk about on this subject, but also I wanted to hear from you. What do you think? Yeah. What do you think about right now being a sneakerhead?
I think it's interesting. And I mean, it's something that you've thought about, I've thought about, we've talked about before this episode, and not just with each other, but with other people too. And I've seen this sentiment echoed on social media that a lot of people, you know, Welty, for example, from the Complex Sneaker Podcast, has said, you know, on Twitter multiple times, when is the last time you can remember walking into a store and seeing a bunch of retro Jordans on the shelf, right? In like almost full size runs. That hasn't happened for a very long time. And it could be a mixture of, you know, consumer fatigue, the current financial, political, economic situation around the world, inflation in a lot of countries, people kind of putting their money elsewhere, but also, you know, more supply than ever. Brands are really cashing in and seeing that, you know, people are buying more and more sneakers. So why stop at, you know, producing 100,000 Jordan 1s in a certain colorway? Why not produce 500,000, right? Like, sure, you might not sell all 500,000, but if you sell 200, 300, 400,000, you've sold four times the amount that you were selling before whilst you were selling out, right? So they're still making more money. And the 100,000 that don't sell, they will eat that, right? The profits will cover that loss, especially with Nike going more and more towards direct to consumer and cutting out the middleman. They're not selling at wholesale anymore. They're selling at retail prices, and they've got their own production costs to cover, which is, you know, a fraction of the retail price. So that's why you're also seeing companies like Nike, companies like, maybe not Adidas, because they had that whole Yeezy debacle, but you've got a lot of companies that are making a lot of money more than ever before. And you think, you know, why? The economic situation is so bad. How are these companies still making money? It's because they're cashing in on this hype. They're creating more than ever. And they've realized that, you know, now is the time to really increase supply. What I do find interesting, though, is that on the one hand, the whole industry has sped up. There's more releases than ever. There's more collaborations than ever. There's more creatives, more brands, more retailers working with more sportswear brands than ever. There's new sportswear brands. There's new sneaker brands that are popping up that are gaining a good following, right? So there's more product than ever at a quicker pace than ever. But that has caused things not to sell out, to sit on shelves. And so whilst the supply side is in overdrive and has sped up, the demand side has slowed down a little bit, or not really slowed down, but slowed down relative to the speed up of the supply. So what I'm saying is that it's almost like an oxymoron, or like the opposite, right? Where there's more, 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 quicker, quicker, quicker. Sneakers are releasing Monday through Sunday almost, right? And previously it was maybe Friday and Saturday that we had releases. And still, you can go into a shop, and more often than not now, you can see pretty decent collaborations, pretty decent general releases, and you can buy them for retail. You can walk into a store physically now and see them. And that whole experience of purchasing a shoe has slowed down again and moved back towards what it used to be maybe 7 years ago, 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. And I find that so interesting, the juxtaposition between the two, on the one side speeding up and on the other side slowing down, you know?
Yeah, definitely, man. Like maybe it just could be the fact that a lot of sneakers releases have been delayed, maybe because of the supply issue during the pandemic. So now we're just getting a ton of releases that were maybe supposed to come out earlier. I mean, who knows? And also from the demand side, we're not here to speculate on why that's the case. You already listed a bunch of great factors there, which is, you know, economic situations different now. There could just be an oversaturation of many sneakers. I mean, whatever it is, I'm just talking about it from like a sneakerhead point of view. It's been, yeah, like you said, so nice to go into a store and not just see some GR shoe sitting there. You're seeing now like collabs sitting. Like in the past, the word collab instantly meant sold out immediately. Bots are all over it. But now even collabs are just sitting. Collabs are going on sale. And it's just been, it's been great, you know. And even some examples recently, the Action Bronson pair that released, that was a pair that, you know, I thought, wow, okay, probably is going to resell for a lot of money. Turned out to not be the case. I mean, most of the sizes are going for just around 50, 60 bucks above retail right now, which is really not too bad. It's really a buyer's market out there, you know. So another interesting thing you're seeing about what you were just seeing right now is there are still some shoes that are selling out and commanding extremely high retail resale prices. For example, those Jaritos Nike SB Dunks that dropped earlier, even the Cortez 95s. You're really seeing in this current market a few shoes really stand out, and it's making it really obvious from just like a general sneaker consumer point of view, is making it really obvious like what are maybe the sneakers of the year. Okay, because it's very clear like which sneakers are the most in demand and which ones aren't, whereas in the past you couldn't really differentiate as much because everything was selling out. Yeah, some things maybe sold for slightly more than others on the resale, but everything was kind of selling out, whereas now pretty much nothing is selling out. But the few, there are a few that not only sell out but go for crazy amounts on the resale market, and it's become very obvious, I think, which are the standouts of a particular year. And that's been kind of cool to see as well. But I mean, I'm just enjoying it, man. I'm enjoying it. I'm loving all these releases every week, just, you know, taking my time with it, sitting back, deciding, hey, maybe I should save my money this month. I don't feel any FOMO, you know. I'm not buying these because most likely next month they'll still be available, maybe 50% off even, like they have been.
This is true.
With some of the releases I picked up now.
It speaks to what I mentioned about things slowing down, right? You don't have to decide. Of course, there's, like you said, there's always going to be releases that sell out. And more often than not, you can, if you know enough about the sneaker world and you've been collecting for long enough, you will be able to point those out, right? Like if there's a Travis Scott Air Jordan 1, it's going to sell out. It might not be reselling for over 1,000, but it's still reselling for several times retail, right? So you know this is going to sell out. But there's other sneakers where they might have sold out 2, 3, 4 years ago. Now they're not. And like you just said, you don't need to decide in a split second if you want that shoe. You don't need to buy it just to check it out and then flip it, pass it on, return it if you don't like it. You can literally, if you're not sure, wait and see. And okay, maybe it'll sell out at one retailer, but your size will be available somewhere else for sure in a week or two. You might even find some sneakers on sale. I have bought, most of the sneakers I've bought this year have been on sale, you know? Yeah. And
that's been amazing.
Yeah, that's been amazing. It's been great on the wallet, especially in these hard times. And I think also from a brand point of view, obviously they all want their sneakers to sell out, right? Because but this is where I feel like the perception has changed. Because in the past, when collabs haven't sold out, it was instantly labeled a bust, right? But nowadays, if a collab doesn't sell out, I feel like it's not as bad as when it used to not sell out, because like you said, so much is not selling out. So much is still shit sitting on shelves. And not everything can be a brick. Not everything can be a bust, right? And so I feel like people are more forgiving in a way and more, you know, like, okay, it didn't sell out. So what? Doesn't mean it's a bad shoe. Whereas maybe 2-3 years ago, the reaction would be like, it didn't sell out. It's not worth having. So I think perceptions have changed there. So it's leading to also a bit of a change in the mentality of a lot of sneakerheads, which I think is interesting because it's just like the community is, I don't want to say evolving because who's to say one is better than the other, right? But it's definitely developing in a certain direction right now. Who knows? Maybe in 2-3 years, it'll develop into a different direction or back to where it was before. But I find that from a social standpoint, very, very interesting too. And then also from a brand point of view, you obviously want your shoes to sell out. And, you know, it does hurt probably financially if your shoes don't sell out and end up on sale, etc. But on the flip side, the shoes that end up in people's hands, they're ending up in people's hands because they actually want them, because they actually identify with your product and they actually want to wear it, right? So instead of most of the shoes ending with resellers and they're flipping them and, you know, they're making money off of your shoe, you know that your shoe is going to end up with those people that actually want it, that actually subscribe to whatever it is your brand is selling, whatever it is that your brand stands for. And I think that's also pretty cool, you know, from a consumer versus brand relationship point of view as well.
Yeah, man, you hit a lot of good points there. I remember during the major hype cycle, anytime a sneaker didn't sell out on the first day, you'd see people online, you'd see like some sneaker YouTubers, you'd see some people on Twitter say, guys, don't sleep, cop now, don't sleep. Man, like if you hear, like I still see people posting stuff like that. I still see sneaker accounts saying, don't sleep, guys. They're still sitting. Don't sleep. Like, you can sleep. You can definitely sleep. We're all sleeping. We all got our pajamas on. We're cozy, man. Like, these sneakers are not selling out. You can sleep. You can wait on it. You can wait for these to go on sale. That's literally, there was a shoe that I really wanted this year, which I really liked. That was the Jacques Mousse Air Force Ones, the J Force One that I talked about earlier. I bought it on release date from Nike, paid 170 euros, returned it because I knew I would probably be able to get this shoe on sale if I just wait a little bit. Ended up getting it 50% off. And now I like the shoe even more because I got it for under 100 bucks. So
yeah.
That's just like one example, you know. Like I find like I'm just really kind of enjoying being a sneakerhead right now. I feel like my love for sneakers is maybe even at an all-time high right now, which is weird because I hear a lot of people saying sneakers are dead, you know, the sneaker game is done. And I'm like, yeah, maybe the resale game is done, but that's not why I started collecting shoes. I mean, I like wearing shoes, and as a sneakerhead, I feel like I'm loving what's happening right now, man. It's been fun. It's been fun to get whatever shoe I want. Tomorrow, there's a great shoe releasing, actually, which we'll get into in the upcoming drops. But all these shoes that we're going to talk about in the upcoming drops, I know they're not going to sell out. I'm going to be able to get all of them if I want. So it's great, man. It's awesome. I've been having fun.
I mean, you said it, and we've both said it. The biggest winner right now is the consumer, right? So for all of you out there, man, I'm not saying this is the best time to buy sneakers because maybe financially not everyone is able to at the same rate as they used to be in the last few years. But just from a choice and time to decide point of view, this is definitely the best time to be a sneakerhead. So long may it continue for sure.
Yeah, let's hope. Well, speaking of upcoming drops, And speaking of sneakers that I definitely circled at the beginning of the year and I thought would sell out and I wouldn't have much chance of getting, that will be releasing tomorrow or the day that this podcast is dropping, August the 4th, the Black Toe Jordan 1 Low OG. The Black Toe, I've said this before, is actually my favorite ever Jordan 1 colorway. And I actually don't even own the high top, so being able to get the low tops is a good consolation prize, and I like the OG shape. I'm sure these won't sell out, so I'm fairly confident I can even wake up at 10 o'clock tomorrow. I'll still be able to cop these, so very, very happy about the Black Toe Jordan 1s dropping tomorrow. Also, there's a bunch of stuff actually on August the 4th. There's also the Ambush and Nike Air More Uptempo collab. Pretty strange shoe for Ambush to be collabing on, because I just never, I guess, you know, they've been collabing on some very popular models before, like the Air Force Ones and the Dunks, but didn't expect to see them on the Air Uptempos. Interesting colorway. It's like brown and lime green with a black midsole. Probably, I don't think these will sell out either, but interesting shoe nonetheless. Also, we are in the midst of Yeezy days, or Yeezy mania. So actually, I wanted to ask you about that. What do you think about Yeezys now being sold again at regular stores, not just the Confirmed app? Yeezys are back, like they're back everywhere.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, is it just the stock that they had and had planned and then they will stop, or?
It's pretty much all of the stock that was produced anyways, and was just sitting in warehouses for Adidas. Initially, we thought that they would just have a couple of Yeezy days on the Confirmed app, but it seems like all of these pairs are getting like a wider release among several retailers, which I thought is pretty interesting, pretty cool to see Yeezy hype back. Like the last couple of days, I've been kind of glued to the Confirmed app, trying to see if those 450 slides are going to drop. I definitely want to get a pair of those, but it doesn't look like Europe will be getting them. But there's a lot of, if you missed out on some very popular Yeezys, look out for them in the month of August. Some very popular colorways will be restocking, including the 700 V3 Azales, I believe, will be restocking. So yeah, Yeezy month, it's pretty much Yeezy month. Like pretty much every single week this month, there's a ton of Yeezys releasing. Then on August the 5th, we have the Crenshaw Nike Dunk SB dropping as well. On the 8th of August, we have another Vomero 5, which is proving to be maybe Nike sneaker of the year. Would you agree this year so far? Yeah,
for sure. And I mean, we all know you are the president of the Vomero Club, and you called it before anyone else did. No, there's some really nice colorways coming out. I saw one that was like the Have a Nike Day colorway that it looks like.
Very nice.
I can't wait for that one to come out. I don't know if it has dropped or if it's coming to Europe, but I definitely would love a pair.
The Vomero 5s have been selling out the first day on some drops. Like there was a drop a couple days ago. I don't know the official name of the colorway. It looks like a cookies and cream type of colorway.
The
like
black and white one.
Black and cream and white. Yeah. That one sold out first day, and it's a pretty interesting shoe because it even glows in the dark a little bit. That one, I don't know when the European release date is, but I have my eyes circled on that one. Well, on August the 8th, there'll be another Vomero 5 dropping. This is the Valentine's Day Vomero 5. It's like a maroon and white colorway. Pretty weird that we're getting a Valentine's Day issue in August. I don't know what's going on there, Nike, but yeah, that one's dropping. There's actually even later on in the month of August, another Vomero 5 dropping, which I didn't list in our notes, but it's just called the Pink Blaze, I believe. It's just all over pink, which is also interesting. So there's two pink Vomero 5s dropping in the month of August. Some other drops on the 15th, we have several Yeezys dropping. There's the Yeezy Foam in the Stone Salt colorway, a new colorway. We also have a new colorway of the Yeezy Slide. This is the Slate Marine colorway, which seems like it's basically a gray Yeezy Slide. And then finally, we have a brand new model from Yeezy. This is the Yeezy 500 High Technical Boot, which is a pretty interesting looking shoe. The retail price, I believe, will be $300. Quite expensive. But if you're a fan of the 500 and you wanted a more army-inspired 500, then this one is probably right up your alley. And the last sneaker to talk about is on August the 16th, another Jordan 1 Low, the Atmosphere Gray colorway will be dropping. And yeah, that's about it. We're going to try to bring this podcast back to our regular bi-weekly schedule after this summer break that we've enjoyed. But thank you guys so much for listening into this episode. Also, write us, by the way, if you think that right now is maybe the best time to be a sneakerhead. What are some of the sneakers you managed to get on sale? And just how's your sneaker buying experience been over the last few months? Have you enjoyed it? Are you not a fan? Have you just lost your interest in sneakers maybe? Let us know. Let us know. Let us know over on Instagram. That would be great. As far as myself, I'm signing off. JD, make sure you check me out on YouTube. Still dropping all those reviews every single week. But until next time, guys, peace.
Peace.